and I had this really cool pantsuit on, and I come walking down the steps, and Skip said, "Did you get big red shoes and big shoes and a red nose with that outfit?" Because, in other words, you look like a clown, you know? Yeah. I should have been hurt, but I was just laughing so hard because...
That was before you gained wisdom.
Right. He has no filter.
That was a week ago, guys.
Welcome to the Between Two Beards podcast, a Bloomsburg Christian Church podcast to get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some who have been following Jesus for decades, and others who are just beginning their walk with Him. We are a family united by the saving grace of Jesus. And we are your hosts, Mike,
Noah,
and I'm Chad.
Welcome back for another episode of Between Two Beards. Today, our special co-host has gruff, not quite a beard. I have Mr. Chad Taylor as my special co-host. Say hi, Chad.
Hello, everybody.
Very good. Chad, do you want to introduce us to our guest?
Yeah, today on the show, we have Sandy and Skip Hare. Just married 50 years a couple months ago, so we have a lot to talk about with them. So excited to have you guys on, and looking forward to what you guys have to say.
I know I've been looking forward to it. I told Skip, I cannot wait just to hear Skip's story. This is my favorite part about Catalyst on Tuesday nights.
Now I'm nervous.
Skip tells great stories.
We're happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. So I guess we'll get started with... coming here to this church probably 2013, I think we came. You two were a very instrumental part of why we came or why we stayed when we came. So we're open and very welcoming to us. Skip was very instrumental in getting me involved in just different things here at the church. And I know so many of the things that you guys are involved in outside of this building that's so encouraging to me. And I've had lots of opportunity. We've probably spent, 22 or 23, maybe 24 weeks of our lives together in Rwanda.
Yeah.
So I've heard a lot of the stories. So I'm excited to actually hear them from Sandy's side or her point of view.
They might be different from her.
Yeah, so it'll be great. But let's start with... Your childhoods and how growing up, I know it wasn't always the easiest for both of you, but and then how you guys met. I know Skip's side of the story, so I'm really interested in seeing her and Sandy's.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to go first?
Ladies first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I grew up in Lancaster, and I guess it was a pretty dysfunctional home, but I guess a lot of people feel that they come from dysfunctional homes, but mental illness played a big part in my growing up years. My mom suffered with that, and so that impacted every part of my life and forced me to grow up pretty quickly. And I did have, it was a chaotic home, but I did have a godly set of grandparents who were a huge influence. They were my safe place growing up, and I don't know where I'd be without them, but I also came to know the Lord very early in life, and I hung on to Him like a life jacket. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't, of course, I was young, so it wasn't the full knowledge of having Him as my Lord and Savior, but I knew somebody loved me and He was going to be with me. So that was my initial relationship with the Lord. And then Skip came along when I was the ripe old age of 17. Well, just about 18 when we met. Mm-hmm. And
still in high school?
Yeah. And he brought laughter into my life. He allowed me to
That's
be...
That's what I'm good for.
He allowed me to be young again. I didn't have to be grown up every minute of the day. Mm. And it was love very quickly.
So... I know Skip's point. So how did you guys meet?
Okay. There was a place in Lancaster called The Loop, and it was just a circuit of, you know, city streets that kids would hang out on. They would drive around, and sometimes people would pull over and talk. There'd be groups gathered on the sidewalk. So I was driving around with my sister-in-law, and we were just being goofy, you know, writing on balloons, "Hey, you're really cute," and batting them out the car windows.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. It was so
Love
stupid. We never pulled over and talked to anybody. But for some reason, when I saw Skip, we decided to pull over and talk for a little bit. And that was how we met. And that came back to bite me years later at this church, because there was a man who didn't belong to our church, but he would come for special occasions, you know, when we would have events here. And he said to me one time, "You've really come a long way." And I said, what do you mean? And he said, "Well, Skip told me he picked you up off the streets."
Oh!
And he thought man. I was a prostitute and that I had really cleaned up my act. And Skip let him believe that, you know, so.
This is why I love Skip.
Yeah, I know. He thought it was funny.
For anybody out there that's older, don't know what cruising is, yeah. and it's innocent thing. I mean, that's what everybody did back in the 60s, and it's just the way we met people, you know? Mm-hmm.
So you met each other, and then...
Hang on a second. What were you doing on the street corner that day?
My friend and I used to cruise while we were in high school ever since we got our license.
So you were on the prowl?
Yes. And then we got, after driving, and we said, you know, this is stupid. Why don't we just pull over and watch? And that's when they drove by, and... Yeah. My friend kind of said, "Well, I'm going to see if I can talk to her." And I said, "No, I'm going to talk to her."
Hey-o.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of argument ensued. And then, you know.
He was very persistent. Actually, I was not still in high school because I was working at the time. So the next day, well, he wanted my phone number. And I just said, "Hey, I'm in the book." And so the next day, I got home from work.
Power move.
Yeah, I got home from work, and my mom is like, "There's a guy calling all day long," you know. So,
that I didn't know.
Yeah, so. No cell phones back then. I had to find a phone booth.
A phone booth?
Yeah, I didn't have a phone in my first
With
apartment.
A cord?
Yeah.
So you were spending some quarters that day.
That's hilarious.
Dial on a number with a dial. And, yeah.
Are you from Lancaster, Skip?
No. I spent, what, 8th grade to 12th grade in Lancaster.
Okay. And mm-hmm. that's how you got to Lancaster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he had gotten out of the Coast Guard and didn't really know where to go because while he was in the Coast Guard, his parents had divorced, so he had a mom in Washington, D.C., and a dad in Danville, and he went back to Lancaster where there was nobody except for me waiting to meet him.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
And I hate to be alone.
So you picked up the first girl you could find. So how much older are you?
5 years.
You're 5 years, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you go on your first date how soon after you meet at the cars, you go on your first date?
Just a couple days.
And then what happens after that? Because I know.
You can tell her what you remember.
It was probably 7 days maybe after we met that he said something about getting married, and I was kind of, you know, I said...
I knew from day one.
7 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a lot to consider. I said, wow, that's a big thing. I really need to think about that and pray about that, but it didn't take very long.
How long?
Was
like
it
couple a, years?
No.
Well,
no, I'm talking like less than a week.
Another week.
I'm thinking we would have got married like a week later if I had my way, because we would just gone to a JP and got married. But her mother, having her brother got married and denied her mother a big wedding to go to.
Oh.
So Sandy wanted to make sure that we had one for her mother.
Well, and, I wanted to get married in a church too.
Yeah.
But yeah. That my brother's decision to get married at a JP, and my parents weren't a part of that, and I just felt like we couldn't do that to them, too.
Did you get married in a church?
We did, yes.
Okay.
The church that I grew up in, in Millersville, which is near Lancaster.
Okay.
So you dated 2 weeks,
Hold on a second. Did you really get married after 2 weeks?
No, we got married in 3 months. We met the end of August. We got married in December. So, and there were so many times in those 3 months that we just were ready to chuck all the wedding plans and elope, but we didn't. So,
wow.
Yeah.
When you know, you know. And what was the year?
1973. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Skip, at that point in your life, God wasn't part of your life.
No, but thinking back now, I think he was, even though I hadn't made a personal decision until well into my, 40s.
Wow.
But I think he was, I was baptized a Christian. And we attended Presbyterian church all through my childhood, but all we did was attend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never... That's all it was, just Sunday, dress up, go to church, and come home. But looking back now, I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit was looking after me, picking somebody for me to get married to, and yeah.
He knew we needed each other.
Yeah. It's amazing how it works, right? Because we think the person has to be a certain way, but when you meet, you just kind of know. Right. And it was funny at the men's retreat. The guy said, kids ask him all the time, how do you know if it's the right person? And they're like, when that person is makes you a better person, that's when you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in your life, I think from our conversations in Rwanda, that's what Sandy did for you. And I'm sure that's what you've done for Sandy. It's you make each other better.
I couldn't imagine life without him after I had met him. So,
So, after that, so you get married,
mm-hmm.
and then what happens after that? So you're living in Lancaster.
Yeah.
That's when the fun began, huh?
Well, I need to just say, we had nothing financial or anything, but we had each other, and that was fun. The wedding was beautiful because it was December and the church was all decorated for Christmas and it was just very beautiful. And my mom at that time was in an institution and we got special permission for her to come to the wedding. And she was kind of in the back of the church with an attendant on each side. So I knew I had to walk past her to get up to the front of the church, and I just thought I was not going to make it past her because I hadn't seen her for a while. And anyway, my dad just pushed me down the aisle. But we made it. And then after the ceremony, they gave us a minute in the vestibule with my mom before they took her back. They didn't let her come to the reception. But I did have one picture of us together on our wedding day, so that was nice.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, then we had our little apartment that had no phone and, you know, we thought it was great because nobody could bug us, but a lot of people needed to reach us that weren't happy about that. So
we had to run across the street to the phone booth.
Yeah. Very little furniture, but hey, we had fun. We had fun.
So then how did you guys get up here then?
Geisinger.
We've been talking about that, and I don't remember how we got up here.
Remember why, but we don't remember moving our furniture.
Yeah,
but it was...
I don't know what. I have to talk to my brothers.
It was a little bit ago, though. We'll give you grace on that one.
Yeah,
I got out of the Coast Guard and got a job at a vending company for a while. I was working for that vending company when I met Sandy. And
what's the vending company?
Mac. They do vending machines.
Candy.
Oh,
snacks
vending.
And
that's back when they had cigarette machines and candy machines and food machines that you put money in and the thing comes around and you get your food out. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I do because I used to manage a ski resort and I always said my best employees were the vending machines.
Yeah. So... I think then I worked for Effort Community Hospital for a while. And then we decided that we just wanted to make that clean break and start all over again. So my dad had already moved up to Danville to work at Geisinger. And so we came up, rented a 40-foot long mobile home for a while. And,
so, Sandy, did you work at Geisinger then?
No, I didn't. I was a beautician at that time, so I got a job in a beauty shop.
So when you came up, what year? Around what year was that?
74. It was. We were only like 3 months in our apartment there, and then we moved up to Danville. So, and then we moved again and again, and finally, 76, we bought a house, and that's where we lived for 36 years and raised our son. And,
and that's where you brought Steve. You had the house when you had Steve.
Yeah, I was pregnant. I was 6 months pregnant when we moved in, and I remember being on a ladder washing windows, and a neighbor next door was an older lady, and she was like having fits, get off that ladder. But it's okay.
So then what year, so were you going to church? Were you guys active in a church when you first moved up here?
No, we for Easter and maybe Christmas, we went up to St. Cyril's at the Basilica.
Oh, yeah.
And Sandy was always a solid Christian, but for me, I thought that's enough. You know, I went Christmas and Easter, and that's fine. But we'd always been, and we went to First Baptist Church for a while in Danville, didn't we? Remember
we
there a couple times?
Churches.
And, but it wasn't until BCC, it was called First Church of Christ back then, and they were in Bloomsburg on 4th and West Street. They did a thing where they gave each person like a couple pages of the phone book. Some of these guys, you guys might not even remember phone books, but
I do.
And so people would just random call people, invite them to the church. Well, we got one of those calls. And so we went to the church and didn't know what to think. You know, you're a new person going in a church, but that old church didn't have a big meeting room like our narthex now. So you walked up the steps and all of a sudden there's all these old guys standing up there. And that was all the elders at the time. And they made us feel so comfortable at that church. It was like we knew people there.
What year was that, Skip, around?
That was about 93
91.
Okay.
91, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just, you just felt home. And so we continued, what, every week since then?
Yeah.
Going to the Sunday school class and all that, yeah.
Yeah, our son was 14 at the time, and I know Skip was in the National Guard, and it was right before the Gulf War, and they were sending him away for tank training, and our son had an accident in wrestling and ended up in the hospital. And all through that, people kept calling and saying, are you okay? Do you need anything? You know, and going to see Steve at the hospital. And I thought, wow, this church really cares. That was really nice to feel surrounded by a bunch of caring people, especially with the thought that he might be getting deployed and stuff.
Yeah, and I had always been brought up in a Presbyterian church, and that's always just about the show.
Right.
And so when we came to this church, and they were so warm and friendly, that was so new, and it was so nice.
And you had an experience like that with when you had surgery, correct?
Yeah, that's actually, if I had to give a testimony, that's what it would be, because I had that back surgery. And it was my first real kind of surgery. So kind of scared about it and stuff. And I'm in there, and before I even went into surgery, I remember David Smith, who was our minister, came to visit, and I thought, wow, you know, we're brand new when somebody comes to visit us. And I thought that was, you know, a good thing. But while I was in pre-op, and that was back when Geisinger was the old way. It wasn't like fancy the way it is now. But I'm laying there between two guys. One guy on one side is ripping out all his tubes and saying he's not going in. The other guy coded and they're putting the paddles on him.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, I got to get out of here. and all of a sudden, and I swear to this day, that it was a physical feeling that God just said, I have you. And it was, I just felt so warm and something like pushing on me on both sides. And ever since then, you know, that's when I knew.
Did you see a difference in him when that happened? Did you see a change in him?
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he was always a great guy.
Right.
But, yeah, the belief was there then.
Yeah.
The conviction.
Was it ever a point of contention for you? Like, no?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
And, like, you guys never fought over, like, hey, we got to go to church or nothing like that?
No.
No, we always loved church ever since the beginning.
Yeah, or do you mean beforehand?
Before that.
No, it wasn't really.
Yeah.
No.
But, like, Steve was 14 and he came to youth group we had. And we used to work with the teens, but not when Steve and...
No.
That was after that, but...
You don't.
And we were so grateful that we did that looking back, because he went to Penn State main campus, and I thought, well, that's going to be the end of his Christianity. But it seems like once he was married, he just got on fire for the Lord. And so, not that we can necessarily pat ourselves on the back, but I was just so glad he got that youth group experience back then.
Youth group is very important, I would say.
And it's years and years of prayer, too, and example, and...
Was that the first, was that the first thing that you guys really dug into when you came here?
I think so.
No, I think we were in missions before we were in the youth group. I think we started with the mission committee, and then I was helping with deaconess and different things like that, funeral meals, and we just kind of jumped in with both.
Yeah, they had deaconesses back then, and I think that was kind of like Jars of Clay is now.
Yeah, and I've seen you guys involved in so many different things, not even inside this building. So Sandy, you had your hair. You worked for a hair salon for a place, but then you eventually went out on your own.
Right. Yeah, I worked for other people for 11 years, and then had my own shop for 9 years, and then hurt my back and had to close that down. And when I went through physical therapy to get strong again, I just kept praying and praying, you know, Lord, that's what I had a license in. I don't know what else there is that I'll be doing here, but I'll have to work. We've gotten used to eating. And so, but then I saw an ad in the paper for hospice volunteer training, and I thought, you know what? I never was able to volunteer really, because when you work 12-hour days and you have your own business, you don't volunteer. So I went to that training, and I just clicked, like, this was what I was born to do. So, I did volunteering, and then that turned into a part-time job, and then a full-time job, and then an overtime job. And, just kept adding responsibilities. And so now I'm getting ready to retire after working for 50 years.
Wow.
But, a new chapter.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But then you're involved in so much else, too.
Yeah.
I'm on the board of WGRC Christian Radio, have been with them for probably 25 years. And
Chad and I have an idea that we'd like to pitch by you then.
Okay.
For a good radio show.
So
off air?
Okay. How did you, off air. How did you get to, when you started in hospice, like, what was it about that? Because, like, knowing you, like, I could totally see you doing like that. But what was it when you got involved? Because for a lot of people, that could be super scary.
Yeah, but the training helps you get over some of that fear. And it's true, it's not for everybody, but I think those who come to it are called to it. So actually, when I was doing hair for 20 years, a lot of that was listening. That was back when ladies would come in. And I did men and children, too, but the ladies would come in every week. They would get their hair teased and then didn't touch it for another week. But, you know, you would see them every week, and they would start sharing their stories. Their kid was on drugs, their husband was cheating on them, they found a lump in their breast, whatever it was that they were going through, they would share. And I would keep it confidential, and I would just be a good listener. And, you know, a lot of that is what hospice is. It's you're listening, you're keeping it confidential. So it was almost like when I was going through the volunteer training for hospice, I thought, I've been doing this for 20 years. Yeah, a different aspect of it. But yeah, it really was. I always had compassion for people who were hurting. I was just, even as a kid in the cafeteria, I would be the one that would go and sit with somebody that nobody else would sit with. I just didn't want people to be left out. So
that's amazing. So how did, so you're in hospice. How did you then get the WGRC on the board? Like, how did that happen? Because you've seen a lot of changes at that radio station in 25 years.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of the board members was a friend and just said, you know, you would really be good at this. We would love to have you on the board. Do you want to come and see what it's about? And I did. And so at the time, I was listening to another Christian radio station, but I quickly switched over. But yeah, it's, that's been a blessing. So, and it's a good ministry. You know, and I just feel like we put our money and our time in the things that we believe are worthwhile for the kingdom of God. And so whatever it is that we can do, we'll do.
You guys, I know, are involved in Camp Courage a lot, too.
Yeah.
So how did you guys get involved in that?
That was through hospice.
Through hospice.
Yeah. And so part of my job after I came on to hospice was, it was like split between volunteer program and bereavement, which is the follow-up that we offer for families. After one of our patients dies, we do a year of bereavement follow-up. And I knew that we were kind of missing the boat with the children and the teens. And so I started to explore what other hospices were doing and went down to Harrisburg and did a weekend camp that they offered. And I thought, this is so great. And that was right at the time that Princess Diana had died. And everybody remembers the image of Prince Harry and Prince William kind of walking behind the casket and just how they had such a public mourning. And it just made me think, you know, kids really need support when they're going through grief. And so we started Camp Courage. I mean, it wasn't a one-person show. There were a lot of people helping to get it launched. But it was a very needed program, and it's grown. And we've been a part of it from the beginning. And our, you know, different family members have been there, some good memories.
About 20-some years.
Yeah, 1998 it started. Yeah. So
If you were going to say to the people in our congregation that are listening, like, how could you use people? Like, what are ways people could get involved in that camp?
In the camp? Well, volunteers is a big part of it. You know, it's a weekend for children and teens who are grieving, and the kids have a big buddy. It's an adult that's assigned to them for the weekend. So there's always a need for volunteers. And then if people don't want to be a big buddy or can't, there are support volunteers that have different roles throughout the weekend. I remember when I was first recruiting volunteers for that camp, and there was a lot of publicity about it, a lot of speaking engagements. And I got a phone call from a woman who was, I think she said she was 89. And she said, I walk with a cane and I can't be a big buddy. I can't walk all over the campground for a weekend. But my mom died when I was 8 and she started crying. And she said, my dad got remarried right away. I was never allowed to talk about my mom after that. And, you know, here she is 81 years later crying because nobody supported her when her mom died. And she wanted to donate money for the camp. You know, financial donations go a long way, too. So,
Skip, how about you? What's that camp do, and what do you, from your angle?
Well, I was a big buddy for a lot of years. And like Sandy said, you're assigned to them, so you're with them shoulder to shoulder everywhere they go in camp. And it used to be at Camp Victory, which has a lot of real estate, so you're with them like all over, and you hear the stories they tell you, and And I think Sandy and I share the same compassion for hurting people. Mm-hmm. Because that's how I got, we both got involved at the same time. So, but besides that, being able to volunteer at Camp Courage, we also are involved with, other than her full-time job, we're involved with hospice volunteering, and we really need hospice volunteers. And if anybody thinks that's something they can do, they can get a hold of us here at the church, and we can let them know what to do. But
yeah, it's a lot of people think, well, I just can't sit at the bedside and hold the hand of somebody who's dying. But a lot of our hospice people are living. They're trying to make the most. They're trying to cram a lot of, you know, a lifetime into a short time. And so we can use volunteers, and it is truly a blessing. If it's something people are called to, it's a blessing in their lives.
And I can just tell you from being on the other end a lot, unfortunately, over the past couple of years, I didn't know what hospice was, actually, until my mom got sick. And it was like the hospice people and the hospice volunteers and the hospice workers were the ones that carried us through. Mm-hmm. In my mom and Jody's mom, my grandmother, like, it was just, those people are amazing. I personally couldn't do it, but we were so thankful for the hospice people.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Well, we had my dad live with us too, and he was on hospice when he died at our home. And I got to see the other side of it too. And, you know, I guess I was a little bit cocky going into that, thinking, I can do this. I've been with hospice for so long. You know, it's different when you're up five times a night and you're exhausted and you're managing it. And, you know, and it's somebody you love. Oh. Yeah, it's very different. So, but thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Skip is one of our veteran volunteers, so we have a lot of veterans on our service, and a lot of times they really enjoy having somebody that's from the military come and visit them and shoot the breeze. They automatically have a connection, and yeah, so he's like this super volunteer.
And you would be surprised if you think, yeah, well, I can't sit there and hold somebody's hand. You can, and it'll happen without you even knowing it, because you'll be talking to them and you'll start to feel for them. And if looks like it's going to happen, they'll reach out, and then you can just, maybe it's just touching them, but just the fact that they know somebody cares. And yeah.
And that's what Jesus taught us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everybody needs something different in those moments. Some people need words, some people need just a touch. Mm-hmm. That's what made him so amazing, and we can learn from that. So,
and even if you just sit alongside them and don't say a word, they feel your presence there.
That is what I think one of the fears that people facing the end of life might have is, you know, society values people who are productive, and when you can't contribute in your mind what contribution is, you feel worthless. Your world starts to shrink. You have to give up your driver's license. You don't have a social life anymore. And then it's the dignity, the having people do things for you that you've always done yourself. And just feeling abandoned is a fear that people have. And when they've got a team surrounding them and people who they know aren't getting paid to do a job just there because they care, that goes a long way in helping people feel cherished and important still. So
let's talk a little Rwanda. How'd you get, Mr. Skip, how'd you get involved with that at BCC?
I think it was 2005 or 6 or 7. And
somewhere in there.
Somewhere between 0 and 10.
Ed took a couple of us from church to an orphanage in Rwanda, and had nothing to do with City of Joy, but I did work there, and I think Vicky went, Vicky's daughter, and Keith's son went, and we just fell in love with the African people. Mm. And that's when it hit me, because while we were over there, we actually rode over to where City of Joy is, and it hadn't blossomed to what it is now. It was just that one small school building, and I think the mission house wasn't there. But we got to hear about what they wanted to do with the African people, and I just fell in love with Africa. It's not sand and wild animals that people think when you say you're going to Africa, but I just fell in love with the people because they're so good. Share of them love the Lord. They're smart. Mm-hmm. Some of them know three languages. And I just fell in love with it.
So what is it that you do and like with City of Joy now?
Chad and
Chad
I
Taylor.
And Ed and Eric are both, we're all on the board.
Okay.
So, well, before we were board members and before we were involved that way, we just go over to help.
Yeah.
With maintenance type stuff and building stuff and basic support. Now we try to have a board presence over there every so many months to, I think a lot of it is just to support the teachers and students and just support the whole ministry. It's able to run by itself. We don't need to be over there.
Yeah.
But I think they really enjoy our support. You know, why would these Americans actually have to pay money to come and help us? Understand that it's because we love them, you know.
I know it's a long flight. Do you have any fun airplane stories?
The what?
It's a long flight, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any fun airplane stories?
You know what? Knock on wood.
You did leave your credit card in the machine one time at the McDonald's.
Yeah, but knock on wood, we haven't had anything like this plane isn't going to stay in the air.
Well,
we haven't had any.
But that's because we're
not
here.
A fun story.
No. You did leave your credit card in the machine, and heard your name in the Amsterdam airport. Howard Hare, please report to Lost and Found.
And if you hear that in an airport that big, you think something.
Who's Howard?
Yeah.
Hey, you don't need to spread it around.
Sorry, never mind. Skip Hare, please report to edit that out.
And there is the time that I showed up for a Monday night Bible study, and Skip thought he was leaving for Africa Friday, and Chad's wife, Jen, was at the Bible study and said, "So, is Skip ready to leave tomorrow?" And I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
That was a fun night.
I called him. I said, "Skip, I was just called, and Sandy said to Jen, we're leaving Friday." And she's like, "No, they're leaving tomorrow. So I'm picking you up tomorrow at 10. He's like, "Oh, man. I got a lot to do." And he just hung up the phone and he was gone. I was like, I guess we'll see him in the morning.
I'm just glad you called in and not just knocked on the door.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
But yeah. we've had some amazing, amazing times. A lot of laughs when we're over there. But there's some amazing work going on. And to watch Skip, it's always great because he's been in plumbing for 40 years,
mm-hmm.
So he's not afraid to get dirty. So, yeah. Like, he'll hug everybody. It doesn't matter. He's like...
Whether they want to or not.
Whether they want to or not. He loves everybody, and it's so much fun.
And I'm telling you what, hugging is international because I've hugged 90-year-old African ladies who are nothing but... bone, and they love it.
Yeah. Yeah, last night at Catalyst, Skip mentioned that he's a hugger and not a kisser because we were talking about the sacred kiss.
We were talking about the holy kiss in Romans. And Bob said, "Well, I don't know if I want you to kiss me." I said, "Well, I hug too." And he said, "All right."
The big, big man hug.
I just think people love that. And they'll let you know if they don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
afterwards. Sandy, have you gone to Rwanda?
I have not.
You
yet
have not yet?
Because they usually go for an extended time, and it's hard for me to get off work.
Yeah.
But now that I'm going to be retired.
So do you have a retired date?
The end of June.
The end of June. Wow, you are vastly approaching.
I am.
Do we have any big plans for the summer of retirement?
We have a what is it? The Finger Lakes. We have a rental house with our family. That's in June. But no big plans. We're going to, I have been saying I just need to go maybe to a hotel and have a quiet time with the Lord. And I'm saying hotel because if you're at home, there's always something you see that needs to be done. You can't really think and be alone and ask for direction there. So
I know the Country Cupboard has destroyed your
load.
When we go to Rwanda, she would go to a Country Cupboard for a night or two at the hotel over there and then go over to the Country Cupboard and walk around and eat. But
yeah,
that's a bummer.
That was my little retreat. But yeah. But that's okay. So I will find another place.
So you guys have been here at this church for 30 years. Mm-hmm. What does this place mean to you?
Well, to me, it's family.
It is.
It's like our extended family because whatever is going on in your life, whether it's some physical problem at home or there's people here at the church that'll reach out to you. I know. I guess there's nothing that you have to be afraid to reach out to somebody at this church.
Right. Yeah. And I think, especially during times of illness, I remember when I was 40 and had a hysterectomy, and people signed up to bring meals. And this was before they had meal trained, so it was just done the old fashioned way. But the meals stopped coming after a week or so, and Skip said to me, "Isn't there anything else you can have taken out so these meals can keep coming?" And I was
like, "You didn't want Skip to cook, I get."
So anyway, no, he enjoyed having the meals brought to the house. So it was funny, but yeah, certainly when you were going through a hard time, I do remember when we did the anointing of the oil before I had, sorry, I keep turning my head and then my voice gets soft. When I had thyroid cancer and was going in for the surgery, and we did the anointing of the oil, and I wanted to do it up on the stage of the church because I wanted it to be a learning experience for people so they didn't think that it was some kind of practice that had to be done in secret, you know, in a back room by the elders. So there I am. They brought a chair up. I sat down, and the elders are behind me, and they have a bottle of oil, and most of them have a drop or two in their hand and put it on my head. And then there's Skip with a palm full of oil, and he just slaps it on my head, and it's running down my face. I think he just really wanted me to be
blessed. I figured if a drop works, then a whole handful work better.
My man.
And, you know, the prayers got me through. Everything was fine, and you know, it was wonderful, and I was able to come back afterwards and give a testimony about how beautifully everything went after that.
Plus the fact that my surrogate grandmother attended here for years and years and years. My grandmother was, they were Catholic, but they weren't Christian, and she just wasn't like a grandmother, but I guess I didn't say her name, but Faith Long, a lot of people listening will remember her. Mm-hmm. She's the one that brought me to faith, and you could talk to her with anything, and I don't think I ever met anybody as righteous as she was. Mm. So that's why I say this church has been like a family to us. Mm-hmm.
Being able to be part of your 50th anniversary party, to what you're saying about this church, the majority of the people that were there that are your closest friends all come here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what this environment, that's what this is supposed to be about.
Yeah. And it's hard when you have family members who are not of the faith. And so that's a part of your life you can't really share with them on the level that you can hear. Everybody that we know here and love dearly gets it. And then, you know, there's certain people, you know, they don't want to hear it. And it's sad if they're your family. But
it is. And it's so hard because it's like you're on fire for the Lord and for what he's asked you to do in your life. And when you're telling people who don't understand it, it's you don't get, there's not that you're looking for something, but you're just, you don't get that connection. Mm-hmm. And when you're telling somebody that understands who the Lord is and who Jesus is, you're like so excited to tell them, because they get equally excited and it just fills you up.
Yeah. I think that's, when I say family, I don't mean our immediate family, like our son and his wife and our granddaughters. They're all so committed to the Lord and walking with him and doing work for his kingdom. And that's one of the greatest blessings we have in our retirement years, is knowing that that faith legacy is being, you know, continuing. So I didn't mean them, but yeah, there are other family members.
So,
and it's sad, and we pray for that situation.
You have, for the listeners, you have one son, Steve, and you've got two granddaughters, so, and a great daughter-in-law. So you can go ahead and brag about them for a little bit.
Well, we have Steve, who's 47. He is an only child, just because that's what God thought we could handle. I guess we wanted more, and it never happened. So, and he married an only child, which is really funny, Ed. So they have two daughters, Lily Grace and Summer Rose. Lily's 22, Summer's 19, and they're both in, well, Lily's in college in Tennessee, and Summer was in college in Ohio and then decided that that was not really her calling. And so right now she's pursuing functional medicine. So, yeah, they're all gifted and sharing their faith and active in their churches, and we're blessed by that.
And Summer's also in a committed relationship, which is...
So there's going to be a wedding probably one of these times here, next year maybe.
But every so often in Bible studies and stuff, we'll talk about legacy and stuff. And it hit me hard because we went down to their church to hear Summer sing, and she used to sing on their praise team till she went to Akron. But all of a sudden, Steve gets up on the stage and starts doing the announcements.
Oh, no.
And then he does the prayer, and he's an elder in that church. And I thought, holy heck. And I'm thinking back, and I said, if we would have never became Christian, he wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have had two daughters that were. And it just, I think that's how it works.
Yep.
You know, it just, one builds on the other. And
if I wouldn't have had godly grandparents, you know, so,
yeah, her grandmother, faith. When we first got married, we used to go there every Sunday and eat with her. She was a saint.
Yeah. They were so old, but they would get down on their knees and pray by their bedside every night. And they were wonderful. So, yeah. What else you want to know?
Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
So, I'm currently with my youth doing... our lesson series is on dating, and seeing how you guys had this amazing, really, it's amazing story, right? What would you say if you had the opportunity to talk to today's youth about relationships and datings, what advice would you say or would you give?
Oh my gosh.
Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, you've been married so long and he did it from so young.
Yeah, but the way we did it probably was against all the rules of common sense. And truly, I mean, to get married so quickly, but I really truly felt God was in it and had brought Skip to me. And I guess that's why it worked all these years.
So I'm sure make sure God's in it.
Yeah, make sure God's in it would be the best advice.
Yeah, and even it was tempting a couple of times, but we didn't live together at all. We didn't move in together until we were married.
In fact, another funny story is that my wedding gown, because, well, for reasons I won't go into, my wedding gown was locked in his apartment on our wedding day, and he was at work, and I had no way to get to my wedding gown.
That tracks for Skip.
Yeah. But anyway, so, yeah, we didn't live together before, but...
The 3 months.
Yeah.
I think it really helps for dating if both of them are Christians, because I was so blessed that the Lord watched over me even before I knew him, that he hooked us up together. And then once we were both knew we were Christians, then, you know, mm-hmm. it was a little easier, I think. You weren't saying, oh, well, my friend's doing this, maybe we should do that, or, you know, that kind of thing. Plus, let's face it, back then we were old-fashioned.
Yeah. But, yeah, I would also tell people to find someone who makes life fun for you, who yeah. lets you have fun, yeah. who just lets you grow and be who you need to be.
Hmm. Yeah, too bad we don't have cell phones, because we could have had videos of me pushing her all over the laundromat in a cart. Well, we were waiting to do. We had to go to the laundromat to do our laundry. Right.
I'm sure there's security camera footage somewhere.
I should have known then what I was in for. Right. But, you know, and I did, and it has come true, and he has kept me laughing for all these years. And I was just thinking the other day of a wedding that we went to a few years ago, and we're at the reception, and you know how they have little gifts at each place setting. Well, there was kind of like a cardboard little box envelope, really, and Skip opened his, and the guy next to him said, "What are they, earbuds?" And he said, "No, they're Buttermans, but you can put them in your ears if you want to." And the whole table starts cracking up, and I'm thinking, where does he get this stuff? But that's just the way yep. Skip is.
That's why we love him.
His brain works differently.
Amen.
But
what is it that you guys like to do together?
We don't know yet.
Oh, okay. Great. Good talk.
No, we love to take day trips and check out new things. We love to be with our family. We've loved camping through the years. We tried snowmobiling for years.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, outdoor things are fun. And we like movies and we like music. We like volunteering, different things. Have we just like being with people.
Have you ever seen The Chosen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Many times I've watched it and rewatched it and rewatched it. Yeah, I love it.
But even a lot of our vacations are weekend things. Sorry.
Welcome back to the rooms.
We can't keep our heads still. Sorry, listeners.
But they're weekend things with the family. That's what we like the most, is hanging out with family and stuff.
And friends.
Yeah.
Where does your son live?
Red Lion. It's near York, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I love, like, you post stuff on Facebook. Like, you guys are such good sports. Like, some people are not fun, let's be honest. And you guys are always so fun. I see pictures you post at different parties, and you're dressed up, and you do all kinds of, like, it's, the laughing part is so important in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, let's be honest, it gets hard. And I know over 50 years, you've had a lot of hard days and weeks and months, and but laughter and the Lord can get you through so much. And it's, if you can't laugh, it's, I mean, we spend weeks, 2 weeks in Rwanda, we laughed the whole time.
Yeah, I believe that. I do.
Sandy, what's your favorite memory of Skip that just makes you laugh every time you think about it?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh, I don't, well, and this makes me laugh. I wasn't happy at the time, but
it was best.
One of my, I guess, the first few years that we were married. And I had bought a pantsuit. That was like the thing back then for ladies. And it was kind of this silky maroon pantsuit, but had white polka dots on it. Little polka dots. I just thought it was really cute. And you know, we lived in a two-story house. At that time, Skip's downstairs, and I had this really cool pantsuit on, and I come walking down the steps, and Skip said, "Did you get big red shoes in it, or big shoes and a red nose with that outfit? Because, in other words, you look like a clown, you know?" Yeah. I should have been hurt, but I was just laughing so hard because...
That was before you gained wisdom.
Right.
He has no filter.
That was a week ago, guys.
I remember one time, it was funny now, but it wasn't funny then, that I gave her a crock pot for Christmas.
Oh, never give a woman a gift that has to plug in, man.
Yeah.
Never.
You have to work with.
But
I mean, of all of them, though, crock pots are, you know, you just turn it on and walk away, though. That's it's true. As easy as it can be. It's not terrible.
It's an awful gift.
But I found out that...
Listeners, don't ever get your wife that, guys.
I found out that gifts need to be just a little more intimate than cooking eat stuff.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day, I guess.
That's the thing, though. We keep learning, and, you know, that is a point that's important because... Last year, we went down to Sandy Cove to a couple's retreat, and Skip was shaking in his shoes because he thought, oh, they're going to make us get up on stage, and oh, I'm, you know, I won't know anybody, and it's going to be terrible and uncomfortable. He loved it. I had been there before, so I knew the setting, and I knew it was going to be wonderful. But we wanted to work on our marriage, and that's, you're thinking, well, yeah, we're married 50 years. What's to work on? You always are growing and changing, and life around you is changing, and why wouldn't you want to grow deeper in your relationship and your love for each other? So don't let things get stagnant and just...
Amen.
Yeah. This couple that did the actual talk, you know, the teaching part of it, they do these... like two-person theater or something they called it. Okay. You know, they'd act out different things that happened in a marriage, and everybody in the audience, there was, what, 200 of us?
Yeah.
Roaring, laughing. They say, yeah, that's what I remember, you know, and it was great. It's just...
And why did you think you were getting on stage?
Because he's Skip. Look at him. Why would they not want him up there? Look at him.
You know what? Well, I know that, but... Yeah.
What word stuck in my head is when you go to a marriage thing, I hear of marriage encounter. And that starts some, I don't know, weird things and stuff. And that's what I was afraid of. But then I kind of thought, well, San Diego Coves is a Christian place, so they're not going to...
I think your point of never stop learning, I mean, that's a great... I've seen so many people that have been married 50, 60 years, and they just seem absolutely miserable.
Yeah, amen.
You know, and it's sad. And to know, you know what, you never should stop learning something new about your spouse. And that's, I think, the same thing with our relationship with Christ is it can never stop, right? It's like, well, I already know it all. I already know everything about my spouse. Maybe we should... We don't need to do that, but that's what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a rough time growing up with my father. I never got along with him and stuff. And my mother always said, well, it's not his fault. He was raised that way and he can't change. Well, after learning, becoming a Christian and learning scripture and the Lord and all that, I found out everybody can change. Mm. You don't have to be stuck in vicious cycle of, and I think that's what helps in a marriage is that if you have an irritating habit that your wife doesn't like, you can change.
Sandy, what's Skip's irritating habit?
And you have to be
changed.
You have to be. You have to be strong enough to say that. Kind of like I'm man enough to change and not think, well, I'm not changing. You know, it's up to her, you know. So that helps too, that, you know.
So you help with the laundry now when she walks by with the basket?
I've done my own.
You remember that example on the radio?
I heard it on WGRC. I had so much fun that day.
Yeah. I've done my own laundry for a long time.
You have?
Yeah.
Most of it. Buddy. Yeah, most of it. So...
I know we're wrapping up here. I just want to say thank you to you guys for who you are in this building.
Well, we tried, you know.
For people like myself who were 25 years, whatever it is behind you, it's inspiring to know that you guys have set a foundation in this building. You've been really an instrumental part of this church for 30 plus years. And you've set a foundation for us to strive towards. You've done so much for so many people in here, including myself. So I say thank you. I'm excited about for you guys, for your retirement. I mean, that's so great to be able to travel and be able to do the things that you want to do. But I know that whatever it is, you're going to be serving the Lord. And that's so fantastic. And I just say thank you for all of us here at BCC for all that you've done. through serving on committees, through being an elder and deacon and deaconess at the time. Like, thank you so much for all that you do for
Well, thank you for your service as an elder now.
Everybody and here around this table is involved in the church, so.
But if
Diego,
I
wouldn't be hearing this if it wasn't for him.
But if it wasn't for people like you who took that chance when we moved from downtown to here, and families like you guys, we may not have something to be part of here. So.
But that was another lesson in God's faithfulness to make that huge financial step and realize you can't outgive God.
Amen.
I forgot about that. That was 40 families that decided we were coming down here.
And Skip's big thing was that he wanted it to be handicap accessible, because we remember carrying people in wheelchairs up the steps of that church. Aww. And so, he said no barriers for anybody to get into that church. And
I remember carrying a casket up into that church.
Wow.
So, but it's wonderful to see it grow and spread the word. Everything was worth it fully.
Yeah, I just echo Chad. I know. I don't actually, Sandy, we haven't gotten to get to know each other much, but Skip, you're always a highlight for me. If you're around and you're telling a story, I stop whatever I'm doing and I'm running over, because I do love you, man. Like, you're just, I appreciate you. You do have a lot of wisdom. You bring a lot of wisdom to Catalyst on Tuesday nights, and you're the elder statesman in the room, and you just, I know I appreciate you. I appreciate what you both have done and what you continue to do in this church, because the work is not done.
Never
done. And I appreciate you guys, Jen, and everyone that's involved with youth ministry, because I tell everybody